All right. I think I'm back in action here. Thank. That's good, though. All right. Boy, let me tell you, I went to the store. I'm sorry, young people. She was so quiet. And I felt like I was being just horribly rude, saying, I can't hear you. I don't know if she's trained to be that way. Kind of be mousy. That's, you know, I don't want to get on to people for behaving the way society wants them to behave. And then she was having problems enunciating. So even when I could hear her, I couldn't understand her. It was like, oh. I knew she was talking English, but this ship's not meeting. Are going to come over on the recording. Okay. Because you hear a lot of young people, they don't use T's very much. It's really annoying because these guys will start sounding, you know, they sound really smart. But then you start talking about, they're trying to talk about Britain. But they call it Britain. All their T's become D's. And it's a wholesale change. It isn't that, you know, it's not like it's a strange kind of affectation from some weird region somewhere, like Valley Girls or something. A lot of kids speak this way. And it's like, do the school teachers just ignore this? Has this been... It kind of used to be that when kids would talk like that, they would send you to the speech teacher to teach you how to speak better. You know, it's like having a speech impediment. But now it's just like, well, this is normal. It's really painful when you're listening. And they say, well, press this button. And you go, press this what? The button right there. That button. And you go, oh, you mean press the button? Yes, the button. And you go, can you not hear the difference? I don't know what a button is. But it's becoming something that you really can't say much about because it's just so widespread that you sound like kind of a jerk bringing it up. Some words, it's really obvious. Anyway, so she was talking like that a little bit and talking so low, and it was like, I really, you know, I really had to work hard. My hearing might be going a little bit. But I really think it has just as much, if not more, to do with really sloppy speaking. I don't know. Anyway, the schools aren't profiting off this like they should. They should have three or four speech pathologists or something and be working with these kids and making a lot of money and charging for it and all that good stuff. There are jobs to be handed out. The speech teachers. And I'm not saying I'm God's gift to it. But I gotta tell you, it bugs the heck out of me. But I think education has become way too accommodating of lots and lots of behavior, which is really sad when education spends too much time blaming parents for, you know, kids' troubles. And it's like, well, let me tell you something. Parents aren't getting paid. And you are. So my answer is, what the heck are you doing about it? You've got a lot more resources at your command than a parent does. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm just that way, you know. It's like, you know what? It says, you guys sure slough off responsibility. Oh, you know, your whole, I'm an expert, I'm a professional. And you go, then act like it. If you think you're doing a better job than a parent's doing, I would advise you to actually do a better job, instead of just mealy-mouthing about it, complaining. All of us have lots of friends that are teachers, because there's tons of them. So you're probably going to have, within your circle of friends, a teacher or two, at least. At least one or two, if not more. And they really take their, at least most of the ones I've known, really, I've never seen a group of people produce such pride in their profession and expect more accolades. As a society, I don't know so much if we taught them to bellyache, but we haven't given them adequate pushback for bellyaching. And so they do it, and they feel justified in doing so. And then they say they don't get paid enough. And you go, wow, you know what? I said, I'd probably take a cut in pay to get every summer off, to get anywhere from a couple of weeks to a full month off over the holiday season. You know, well, I have to use my summer vacation to work on this and that, this and that. You know, well, maybe, but probably not. Is it a tough job on some level? Sure. Dealing with a bunch of kids? That's a pain in the butt. And if you're smart, you make it so there's not a lot of homework. Because that ends up being extra work for you to get all that, you know, to get all that stuff graded. I talk kids a few times, and much prefer adults who are paying, well, quasi-paying for the privilege. The more that they make different colleges or community college or whatever free, basically, it becomes bad behavior. I had a web based only college class I was teaching as an adjunct. And I worked it out pretty well. There were canned quizzes that we used. There was one paper to write, and it was mostly writing correctly. I usually didn't even bother evaluating their content, except that they were supposed to come up with a subject to write on. So many words. Stuff like that. I didn't do a final exam. One of the normal chapter tests ended up being one of these things. And then, of course, you were supposed to do a kind of a comprehension assignment. This was a quasi-business class. It wasn't an accounting class, so you didn't have to worry about the math. But you had to make judgment calls about something being a good idea or not, or how you would handle something, or how you would put together a contract, something along those lines. And it was, I have to say that the vast majority of people made an A in it. We didn't grade our curve, which made some people upset. So I got feedback from the students at all. It was mostly about me giving them a break. It's like, I don't need to give you a break. I said it's very straightforward. Anyway, you know, people would say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's like, oh, good night, you know. Something, you know, my mother's in the hospital. To which my normal answer would be, if you've got something else going on, why don't you just drop the class and take it later when you've got more time. Of course, they'd say, oh, well, I've got this, I've got this, I've got financial aid. And I said, yeah, I know. Or I would say, you know what? Even if you miss a few assignments, usually you'll still be okay. You know, my feedback to them would really depend on how they're doing in the class in the first place. If they were doing really badly, you know, it's like, I don't know if you're going to make it in the first place. I did this over the course of 4 years. There were plenty of people that dropped out, which is fine. It's like, you know what? You really need to figure out if this is really something that you want. A whole lot of people take business management classes. You know, it kind of was becoming kind of a fallback for most people. Well, if you can't do anything real, why don't you get a degree in business management? All the business management people had to take my course. Because it has to do with information technology, and you have to have at least a basic understanding of business technology and what it requires and what you have to put up with. Anyway, so I probably helped maybe a dozen people figure out that they needed to find something more engaging than business management. Business management has become kind of the degree in nothing. And because every third person has a, you know, it's like, I'm an MBA. And that kind of used to mean something. back in the old days, back in the 70s and the 80s, having an MBA was like, ooh. On the success track. I don't know if getting a degree in business management has gotten watered down, or if it just always was that way. But, yeah. Now a person with a business degree is a dime a dozen. And it's like, what separates you out from the crowd, you know? You got me there. Go out and start your own business. But can I be really honest? A degree in business management does not help you start your own business. I don't know if there's a whole bunch of stuff you have to unlearn. I really don't. I'm not a business guy myself. I got this job because my background, information technology, I've got a master's in information technology management, which is just a couple of steps away from business management. I got it because I tend to work at universities. And a university will compensate you for having a higher degree. So, I got this degree. In most cases, it got me paid better than I would have gotten paid normally at a university. I think it also made it so that when they came looking at me to be the chief information officer somewhere, then I went down better than other people did. You know, during the hiring process. There was a guy that was, I'm sorry, there were several people that were more, I think would have done much better. But they didn't have a degree particularly. That was part of their problem. Anyway, interesting teaching. And it's like, I would say that having a lack of decent diction would affect your employment prospects. But to be really honest, after all this DEI stuff, all these things, I don't know anymore. Getting your hair crimped so that you look black was a really big help. You know, being from one of those special groups. Of course, the fun thing about being a special group is they practically throw things at you. You know, every college will kill itself trying to help you get either your undergraduate or a graduate degree. And if you're struggling, or if it's over your head, you can just say that alongside your special status, and they will drop requirements to help you. Or shuffle things around. That's okay. Now, you know, you can get weird about that. At some point, behaving such a way will render will render college irrelevant, and then things will kind of straighten up. some colleges will probably say, you know what, we're a little bit more serious and we have standards and everybody has to reach the standards to get our degree. And those degrees will become more meaningful. Although I don't know how you're going to do that because, you know, employers will start getting smart. Start saying, okay, a degree from such and such university is meaningful. A degree from this other place, I don't hire anybody from there. Because I've had a few people from there, and they were pathetically stupid. They didn't know what they were doing. I can't say much because, to be honest, I might have been a great beneficiary of I wouldn't say affirmative action. I'm not part of a specialty group. But I think for my baccalaureate degree, they were very excited to have a human male there. And they kind of wanted to say that. Look, this is our token male. Now, I don't know. I'm not really sure that my instructors looked at it that way. Now, I don't think the system was sophisticated enough to do some kind of weird reverse discrimination sort of thing. You know, I'm taking coursework that mostly women take, and you know, most of the feminists don't know what to do with that. Usually they just get upset and say, you know, you're stealing some of the things that are supposed to belong to women. I'll move. It's okay. Ultimately, I only used it a little bit, and then it just kind of went to pot. And I got into other things, which worked a lot better. I don't know what to say about my background. So, yeah, when you go, boy, teachers complain a lot. Usually, if I was really upset about my job at that level, I'd just leave. Of course, then you would just be aghast, because how dare you suggest that? You go, what? Sounds like you shouldn't have that job. You shouldn't work for these people, or something. There's tons of teaching jobs. You should find something that might appeal to you more. I kind of feel for them because, you know, a degree in education is only useful teaching in a school. Well, I can't say that exclusively. One of the places I worked at would hire teachers for their training stuff. They had a big, strong training arm. And that would be something that might be attractive to a teacher. And where having a teaching degree might actually be helpful. But yeah, by and large, if you get a degree in education, you're stuck in education. And if you don't like the fact that it's pretty uniform across districts and across states, it might be a pretty tricky thing to get into. You might not want to. I'm trying to make sure I don't lose my turnoff. Frontera. here still. It'll come up soon. Here it is. We've got a turning lane that goes and goes and goes. Good gravy. Amazing. I'm cutting across here to go to, you go to Portales and then go north from there to the state park where I stay tonight. Hopefully nobody stole my stuff. Anyway. So yeah, you know, I guess I just approach it like I approach everything. So if it's not working out the way you would like it to, you have to make a decision. Are you going to put up with it or are you going to leave? And, you know, when people say, well, schools are full of leftists, you go, well, yeah. You go, you guys almost kind of make it that way in that if you have people who are unhappy with the schools, what do? You go and you complain about it until it changes. Most jobs can't do that. You'll get fired. You don't like how things work. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, teachers are a pretty interesting lot. I have friends who are teachers. They all wonder why I'm not. They go, well, I've done it occasionally. I said, you know, I never spent so much time in the principal's office than I did as a teacher. I kind of avoided it as a student. But, you know, being told that I wasn't conducting myself properly. But to be honest, I had a different take on learning. I think putting learning opportunities and people together is just as efficacious, if not more so, than having some kind of amazing teaching style. You can establish milestones for people to meet. I guess that's how I kind of did that web-only college class. It was just meeting milestones, getting a basic gist of something. Most of these people, in which whatever educational institution you put them into, everybody's favorite teacher typically isn't one that really, I don't know, pushed them hard or really taught them something, or at least something intentional. It's usually one that really touched their heart, who did something really nice for them, really showed that they cared. Of course, you have to understand that most of my experiences comes from females. So these are things that really matter to females, I think. I you know, guys aren't dumb, they kind of caught on. If you play a girl, things go better for you. I think, and people who take that to too high of a level will probably become trans women. Because women are given a lot of strokes. Cared for a lot better. You know, and you go, why do I want to be a man? I mean, being a man's competitive. It's demanding. why would you want to go through all that particularly? That's probably where all these speech impediments come from. I'm sure most teachers look at all these people like they're three-year-olds and say, oh, isn't that cute? Listen to how they say button. Oh, boy. That is so cute. And that just gets conflated to the point to where it's like, I'm a college-educated woman, and I say button. And nobody really says anything to me, because if they say something to me, I may cry. Or if the HR department is good with it, I'll turn them in for being mean to me. And that's why people just go, oh, screw it. You can sound as silly as you want to. You know, the old-fashioned thing of making you feel bad, but doing it because you're trying to help somebody to succeed in life, that's totally off the plate. You don't do that. You give people the success that they want, whether they deserve it or not, and your tendency is to give it to people who really haven't earned it, but who you feel like deserve it. You come from a tough background. You know, people didn't always treat me really well. And you go, you know what? I came from a world where nobody treated anybody well. It felt to me like most of my teachers were bitter ex-nuns who finally got thrown out of Catholic school teaching because they just didn't have a good heart or something. Drill sergeants with a bun is what I recall from a reasonable proportion of my teachers. That was their job. Who was I to say that they were good or bad? You know, what difference did my opinion matter? I was just there to learn. And however they wanted to do that, that was fine. You know, and I'm not saying that made me a better person or a worse person. It was just different. I think it, there were all kinds of teachers. I remember, I think it could have been my junior year. We had this really cute, she was probably in her mid-20s, English lit teacher. And I don't recall what we really, no, I think we read a couple of the Canterbury Tales. And I seem to recall talking about those. I'm sure half the guys had a crush on her. She really wasn't my type particularly. But anyway, who cares what my type was? This is her job. This is her classroom. You did what she wanted you to do. You know, I don't know how much crap she took. Honestly, I was kind of a quiet, shy guy when I was that age. The whole thing of talking into a microphone for half an hour straight about just blah, 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 oh my gosh. First of all, there really wasn't a lot of that going on. I had a cassette recorder. But I would normally use that to record the audio of television shows I like. I wouldn't have bothered spending a lot of time. I didn't do that until I got my mission. But then I found out after my mission was done, I went back to the tapes I had recorded, and most of them were, you couldn't hear anything because it was just gone. I think it was because I used really cheap tape, probably. Anyway, so, yeah. But people change. That's okay. You know, and I'm not saying that my style was the best for everybody. It worked well for me. And I think there was a handful of the students who kind of said, hey, this is kind of cool. I had this one fellow who called me back for it must have been 3 or 4 years, getting my thoughts on computers and stuff like that. Stuff he was in college, I think. And yeah, wanting recommendations. Oh my gosh, I don't think I helped him much because I said, you know what, I don't. I actually wrote up something for him. It's still on my website, my generalized computer recommendations for people. You can go on my website at quix.us. I'm not sure if it's very readily available there anymore. I don't know if I really have a link to it. No, I do. You have to go to my personal page, and on my personal page, there is a link to my basic computer recommendations, which I have not altered in about, oh, man, it's probably been at least 15 years, maybe 20. Because, to be really honest, computers really haven't changed over the last 15 years or so. You can get a really souped-up computer, but when you do that, you're kind of a gamer, and you have an active gaming community, which can give you the kind of advice you would like to have on that kind of a computer. I don't do that. I just do just normal people. I need a computer. I got to get on the internet. You go, yeah. I says, you don't need much. Anyway, so that really has changed. I said, in fact, I said the last time I made the adjustment to it, I usually changed out the term megabyte, which is 1,000 kilobytes. For gigabytes, for G gigabytes, instead. And most people don't really need a terabyte. If all they're doing is writing emails, you know, emails haven't got so sophisticated that they need 100 megabytes. Although, if Microsoft had its wish, every single file would take up at least 1 million bits. But I think that's already true. If you create a blank file or you type a couple of letters into it, it's going to take up that much space because of how much kind of, I wouldn't even call it metadata. How much boilerplate formatting they toss into it. It's just crazy. But boy, my heart beat back to the old days. Anyway, yeah. There were some nice perks in education. The last couple of years, I haven't been at an educational facility. So therefore, I haven't gotten my Christmas vacation. This year, it's not even close to a weekend. It's on like a Wednesday. Christmas and New Year's, so I'm not taking off anything around it. I'm taking the day off, the day of. Of course, I think, frankly, there's not going to be a lot of work for me to do around Christmas anyway. So I'm kind of hoping that there's some training things that need to be done. I'll just stay home and work on training. Anyway. I'm almost to my destination. So I probably won't be recording a whole lot more than I already am. And to be honest, you know, it's just a mishmash. Like I said, I don't want to antagonize teachers, but yeah, it's like, I'm really glad that it hasn't become a huge national news thing, teachers going on strike and all that. I think COVID kind of killed a lot of that. A lot of teachers dropped out of education when COVID happened, because education got really weird there, that whole trying to do it remotely and having all the kids come and sit in front of their computers in their pajamas and see what was going on. It also changed a lot because parents saw a lot of what some of the school teachers were doing with their own individual kids and got really upset. Homeschooling spiked, I think, during that time. Parents were home anyway. One of the major things that they were using school for, and I know it's like, oh, you're being so rude to teachers. You go, sorry. A lot of parents just use school as child care, free child care. But the thing you need to be really worried about are the parents that expect you to do a whole lot more than just basic child warehousing. It's just because they were the ones coming back and giving the whole system grief because they go, teachers didn't do much of anything. They would tell them what they need to do, switch off the computer, and tell the kid to do it at home, and if they have any problems, ask their parents. And it's like, is this what teachers do? We pay these people that much money, and that's all they do? And you go, you know, from just a pedagogical standpoint, that's a really, actually a really good technique, is to throw them in the deep water and see how they swim. You know, just, can I be honest, that's kind of the way I tended to be. And seeing how resourceful the child could be toward taking care of their problems. If they went to their parents, that's fine, but it's not, you know, it's not something amazing. If they went out on the internet, dug up answers to their problems, all the better. That's one of the wonders of having something like the internet, is that it can be used as a resource, and you really want people to use it as a resource instead of just as a time waster. And I think the fact that that's kind of what I'm sorry, I've known teachers that would use computer free time as a reward for doing less savory work. And sadly, I think that breeds the whole thing about the only thing that the computers are really here for is to have fun on and to goof around and play around with your friends. and makeup memes and garbage like that. And you go, well, it's there. What are you going to do, stop it? And you go, no. I said, but what I would do is say, use it as a resource. Now the problem is, you know, there's AI out there, and AI, if you say the right things to it, will do your work for you. And that brings up the whole other thing. What is all this about? Is this really about learning, or is this about figuring out how to get other things to do your work for you? You know, the person who could cajole you into doing their work for them, you know, doing it, you're having somebody else do it, but put your name at the top. Can I be really honest? That was an earmarked behavior for success. If you could get somebody else to do it for you, you are on the fast track to becoming a business executive, because that's pretty much what business executives do. They get other people to do work for them. Honestly, you know, that's how it goes. And you go, yeah, what is school really there for in the first place? When they say, oh, we're really going to clamp down on bullying, and you go, oh my gosh, bullying is one of the more effective management techniques. If you want to have good managers, they better have a good grasp on bullying. Because in a whole lot of ways, that's how you're going to be able to get people to get stuff done. All this stuff about being a good kind of friend to your employees, subordinates. What? What kind of crap is that? Then they start passing off more work that they don't want to do back to you. Oh, he's my friend. He's going to make it happen. And he wants to look good to his supervisor. So, you know, if he can't get me to do it, he'll do it himself. Yeah. And you go, boy, school, you know, school used to be the primo training ground for those kinds of circumstances. That's why schools were set up in a somewhat hierarchical way, was so that everybody could figure out what their place was in society. I'm kind of a Sigma guy, which means school had nothing to do with me. I just ignored school. I did what was needed. Did I make A's? Yeah, but I didn't work hard. I didn't have to. Everybody else had to play the game, had to figure out what the pecking order was, do this, do that. I just ignored it. And as soon as school was done, I was happy, and I went on with my life, and I did other things. I've always been quite fortunate. Most of my employers have been the type that if I got stuff done that needed doing, they were perfectly happy to leave me alone so I could just do what I did. You know, they could chalk it up to, oh, well, nerds, you know, you just have to be prepared for nerds to be like that. You know, they do this and they do that. They do strange stuff, and you go, well, yeah, I suppose. You go, that's fine. This is, to be honest, I don't think I'm a very good geek at all. I mean, I can play one pretty well. You know, but most geeks are pretty smart to begin with. That was probably the one big thing I had in common with geeks, was that I was kind of smart. Pardon me. I don't know where I fit in anywhere. I don't think I really do. I'm glad when I find a position that's pretty easy going about things, as long as you can produce the needed results. My biggest problem is it's taken me a while on my current job to actually get to that place. You know, there's so many things that need, so many hoops that have to be jumped through before you can actually even get near your job. I'm still kind of working on that. Anyway, so that's okay. You know, I'm still getting paid, so that's all right. I'm trying to learn how to be a little more circumspect, a little more patient. Not trying to get all wound up. There's jobs that I have left that I just left them because I just couldn't handle the lack of pace, honestly. And that doesn't, you know, I've always said that I am one of the laziest workaholics that have ever been. Can I be honest? And, yeah, I don't say that to my supervisors particularly. But some of them come back and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, work smarter, not harder. And you go, whatever. You know, I don't know what that means. For a guy that really doesn't like lots and lots of red tape and a lot of officiousness, I certainly don't like applying them to other people. That's why I was a horrible chief information officer, was that I really wasn't, I really didn't care about keeping the rules particularly. If you came up with a novel, new, kind of cool way of getting something done, that was as good as anything else. I'm going to pull over and pee. Probably going to get thrown in jail for this. But, hurry up. Anyway, so yeah, you're going to listen to me go to the bathroom. Hopefully this guy doesn't pull over and try to help me. It's like, no, get out of my way. I got to pee. I just need somebody. I just don't need to have a lot of headlights on me while I'm doing it. That's all. Oh, there's the bass. Ah, work. 4 more years and a little more. Oh, God. Okay, now he's pulled over to give me a ticket. Make me out as a pedophile or something. Oh. Jeez. So, yeah. Anyway, so. Oh, it is chilly out here. Lisa warned me it was going to be coldest tonight. And, of course, tomorrow morning is what's going to be the coldest. So, oh. But I feel a lot better. It's 10 o'clock. And I'm not quite there yet. I need to get there. Go to bed. The nice part about this whole thing is it's really pretty cheap. I think Lisa enjoys a little bit of time away from me. She doesn't want to have to go anywhere to do it. She's perfectly potty having me just go off. You know, and that way she can just do what she would prefer doing. Anyway, I think. So, this gives her those kinds of times. Although I think we did really well with, I call it my first retirement, which was just for a couple of months. I didn't have a job. And I really wasn't particularly looking. But then I started, you know, after a while it was like, Lisa said, no, Jason, this isn't going to work. But we were getting along okay, you know. I was always really concerned that I would drive her batty. And I didn't. Lisa does kind of her own thing. She mostly makes our meals and chops up things in front of the TV. And you go, well, Lisa, if that fulfills you on some level, cool. I can't say much. You know, I can't say much. All I do is fool around on computers because I'm bored. If I would get away from the TV a little bit and get someplace a little more charged, like my office, I could work on writing, and I did work on writing a little bit. Like I did a couple of chapters of a couple of my now probably decades old projects. I know I could get back to them, and of course I always do, you know, some other little writing projects, things like that. And of course, I'm thinking about this whole doing the Gospel Principles podcast. I think everybody's done it yet. Everybody got so enthusiastic about "Come Follow Me." There's at least a dozen "Come Follow Me" podcasts. Like I said, all from. Seminary teachers or ex-seminary teachers. The current general young women's president, Freeman. She's got a very interesting look and a very interesting dressing style. You could call it old fashioned, but it's not even that. It's kind of chic, dumpy clothing. I don't know what the girls think of her, but apparently she's something. Anyway. Wow, you can see Cannon Air Force Base like nobody's business out here. All those big lights. Oh. Which means I'm pretty dang close to my turnoff. To go to State Park and to go park, fill up my water jug. I just went to the bathroom, so nothing really too strange about that. I hope I haven't already passed my turn. It's usually pretty obvious. There's signs, you know, to say. This is the turnoff. I don't think I've gotten there yet. But if I get to the base, I need to turn back around. Because I will have missed my turn. Well, anyway. Only 3 miles from town, so I don't think I'm quite there yet. It's not terribly far from the turnoff. Seeing a lot of little lights. This is it. Maybe. I don't know. Could be. Yeah. Like I said. Okay, so. All that being said, it's 10:09. It's right after quiet time. Quiet time has just begun. Most important thing is my stuff still there? Did somebody come tear it all out, park in my spot? This guy's trying to pass me. They don't act like they are. They act like they're following me. No, they just wouldn't get out of my lane. I figured I was in their way. It's like, no, that's a turning lane. Yeah. Crazy. All right. The sun's out. The moon's out. Well, somewhat. Anyway. So I'm almost there. Hey, I've been recording for an hour.